Welcome to the Joy of Cruising podcast with your host, award-winning author, Paul C. Thornton, a weekly conversation with the amazing cruisers featured in the Joy of Cruising trilogy, comprised of The Joy of Cruising, Cruising Interrupted, and new release, The Joy of Cruising Again. Each book is a compilation of features about cruisers and cruise and travel personalities from around the world. It's the next best thing to cruising, hearing about cruising from the unique and diverse perspectives of Paul's amazing guests.
Hello, passionate cruisers. This is Paul, and I am delighted to welcome this week to the Joy of Cruising podcast, Justin Sorrell, a.k.a. Mr. Bucket List. Justin is a video creator and influencer, and the creator of the Mr. Bucket List YouTube channel, where 16,000 subscribers get to follow his adventures on the seas, usually on the newest ships, like the largest ship in the world that launched just a couple of months ago, Icon of the Seas. Justin recently cruised the launch and did a little bit of everything, so I can't wait to hear the details. He cruises exclusively solo, which is relatively atypical for men, and has done 19 solo cruises, three of which involve leading Mr. Bucket List group cruises. As suggested by Justin's brand name, cruising is only one aspect of his adventure-seeking lifestyle. He has checked off over 150 items on his bucket list in numerous forms. Justin is a confirmed thrill-seeker, having visited over 85 theme parks, 49 of 50 states, and that will soon be 50 of 50 as he just booked a Hawaii cruise for this spring, and 5 to 7 continents. And then there was a statement on the Mr. Bucket List homepage, and Justin became a new travel role model of mine. I vacation every 2 weeks. Welcome, Justin, to the Joy of Cruising podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Good. Just got back R&D cruise. So I am finishing up. We like to do our reflections on a cruise, not really a review, but just kind of some random reflect. Wrapping that up, that's actually going to air the day after our interview, although your show's not going to air until a couple of months. So yeah, I'm doing fine. So I just got back from a cruise, and I'm real excited about my next cruise because it will be my first time. Ship I know you've been on, Virgin Voyages, or cruise line that you've been on.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm sure we'll chat about that as well. But before we discuss your fascinating cruising, and tell our listeners about yourself in general, where you're from, where do you live, family, professional background, anything you would like to share.
Sure. So my name is Justin. I was born in New Jersey. I was raised in North Carolina. Now I'm down here in Central Florida.
Let me interrupt. Where in Jersey? Because I'm from up that way. And then where from North Carolina? Where in North Carolina? Because that's where I'm talking to you from right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Camden, New Jersey.
Oh, I know Camden well. I used to be an administrator at Rutgers University, Camden campus.
Wow, okay.
So I crossed the bridge and over into Camden every day for 4 years or something like that. So you say you were raised in North Carolina?
Yeah, so I moved to North Carolina when I was about 2 years old. So I was raised there pretty much. I went to school there as well. So I graduated from East Carolina.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. We live in, I say to people, we live in Charlotte. We really, really live in a suburb of Charlotte. We go downtown quite a bit, go to Charlotte quite a bit, but we don't live in Charlotte proper. Okay. Good. I didn't mean to interrupt, but you said two locations that immediately resonated.
Yeah, usually when I bring that up, usually people know about it. So yeah, like I said, that was pretty much my background. I'm just kind of piggyback on the Charlotte. So my sister lives in Charlotte. She previously lived in Concord. So yeah, I'm familiar with that area too. But yeah, like so I'm here now in Central Florida, so I pretty much have split time between Tampa and Orlando, but that's where I'm based out of. I moved down here in 2015.
Okay, so yeah, I lived in Florida as well. I moved there in 2012 for a job. I worked in Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay,
so it was nice being there as far as cruising is concerned, but it wasn't enough to keep me there.
I get that.
Yep, yep. So, well, so you say you're in what part
in Tampa? So kind of like you. Basically, the way I got down here was after I graduated, I worked in a couple of hospitals. So kind of like my whole thing is with as far as bucket list stuff with my adventures, I did the same thing with my career. So I mean, I've worked in two different ERs. I worked in the medical field. And then eventually I got so tired and fed up of just seeing people struggling and stuff like that. The ER is a really tough place. And so I went from that to doing an internship at Disney World. And that's what got me down to Florida. And I remember all the doctors and nurses I worked around. They were like, you crazy? They thought I was joking. I'm like, no, I'm working at Disney. So I ended up doing an internship at Disney World at the Magic Kingdom at the castle. So a lot of people don't know, but there's a restaurant inside the castle.
That must have been great. There, okay. There.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Going and doing this, just seeing people happy and enjoying their time. I was like, I want to do this full time without actually working in the field. So, yeah, it kind of got me on my path.
Now, I know we'll talk a bit more about this later, but I know that you love theme parks. Did your affinity for theme parks start with your time at Disney?
It did. So basically just kind of the cool thing about working at Disney is you get unlimited access to all the parks. And so I literally, like I was an intern, so I literally worked for a couple hours or whatever. And then we would get off and we would go ride rides. And so I was like, I want to keep doing this after I get done with this internship. And so that kind of got me on my path.
Talk about the creation of the Mr. Bucket List brand and persona.
Sure. So it's strange. When you want to make a persona, you want to make something that's catchy, that's easy to remember, that's short. And so my old persona was just ridiculous. And so it just didn't work. But I had went skydiving, and this was like a year before I moved down to Florida. I just wanted to do something crazy. So I went skydiving, and I remember my best friend, he was like, man, you're doing this bucket list type stuff. I was like, bucket list? And so I was like, I could go by mission.
So was that skydiving experience, was that your first foray into thrill seeking?
It was. So honestly, even after that, for a while, I was really scared of heights. I was scared of getting on planes and I hated heights. And so I'll say, let me.
Even after you had jumped out of one?
it sounds crazy, but yeah. I think I got over planes during the pandemic. And so I skydived back in 2014. So, I mean, it literally took half a decade, but yeah, I was scared of it. And so I did it and I survived. I was like, I guess I survived. I guess that's a good thing. And so I wanted to keep it going. But yeah, that was like my first big bucket list type of venture. And then moving to Florida and working for Disney as an intern, that was like my second big, because I was scared to leave my hometown. So doing that and being an intern, there's a lot of risks involved.
So while we're on theme parks, before we get to cruising, let's just talk about theme parks. What's your favorite things to do at theme parks?
Well, it's kind of similar to cruising. So for me, I'm all about the atmosphere, the thrills, and then the shows. And so, for example, of course, Disney, they're all about the atmosphere and keeping the magic and stuff like that. But they don't necessarily have thrills because it's a family park. And so I try to find a little bit of everything. But when I go there, that's usually how I rank my theme parks as far as how I get thrilled, how I enjoy.
What is your most memorable, and I know this is putting you on the spot because I think you've been to something like 80 theme parks. Mm-hmm. What is your most memorable theme park attraction?
Oh, so this is a dangerous question because we call themselves theme park enthusiasts. They get very iffy about stuff. When I say this, is probably going to disappoint people, but it's going to be a ride called Thunder Road. And the reason why, so it's no longer...
Thunder Road, where is that?
That's actually, so it's extinct now, but it's actually at Carol. So right near
Carol.
Near you. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the reason why it was so memorable is basically it was a roller coaster that spanned between two states, so North Carolina and South Carolina. It was that long.
Get out.
Yeah. And so it was a big deal back then. Like I said, they got rid of it because of reasons, but the reason why I was so memorable, it was like my first big roller coaster. And as a child, I'm like, oh my God, like my dad was like, you know, we're getting, I was like, this man's trying to kill me. Like, that was so scared. And it was just, I mean, just thinking about it, it's like that's like a bucket list coaster for the people that were able to ride it. Because there's no other coaster in the world that spans two different states in the U.S. That was the only one that in existence. So out of all the rides I've ridden, it would be that one back when I was like, I think either 6 or 7.
The listeners are probably curious, theme park fans. I know I am. What's your Mount Rushmore of theme parks? I guess there's four faces on Mount Rushmore. What's your top?
So this may be another disappointing question to certain viewers because two of them are in Florida, and people always want to say, "Oh, you want to get much?" I have my thing about my Florida parks. That's why I'm down here. But I'll say Universal Islands of Adventure. It's just thrills, atmosphere. Busch Gardens, Tampa is literally down the street from me, and it has a zoo. It has one of the best zoos in the world, plus a theme park. And then a place called Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park. Now, I saw this on the Travel Channel, like most of my bucket list adventures when I was a child. And so I said, if I ever get old enough and brave enough, I'll go there. Well, I went there and it was Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park. It's in Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
Okay.
That one, and then the mega one everyone always talks about, Cedar Point in Ohio. Mm-hmm. It has the most roller coasters in one thing.
Well, mm-hmm. I can say that I'm not a big theme park guy, but I've been to two of your Mount Rushmore, so that's not bad.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So Universal Studios, Busch Gardens. Yeah, when I was in Fort Myers, I would get my grandkids every summer, and we did Busch Gardens Tampa one year. So again, not cruise yet. Just take us through and non theme park, but I know that you've checked off dozens and dozens and dozens of bucket list items. Take us through the top bucket list item, non theme park, non cruise, just experience. What are the experiences that we don't want to miss?
So again, I'll say this: a lot of the stuff I got off of the Travel Channel when I was a kid. I mean, I love watching that show and just getting ideas. And
so you started watching Travel Channel when you were a kid?
Yeah. So my parents would always have it on. It's just something to watch, and I would see all this crazy stuff. I'm like, oh, did people really do this? And then when I got older, of course, TV got phased out. But I looked those old episodes up, and I literally just went back through them and started doing stuff on my list. And so it's funny because a lot of places I'll go to, they'll say as featured on the Travel Channel. I'm like, oh, they're right, because that's how I found out about it. So, with that said, so my first bit shark diving. So it was like a swim with shark. Now, the thing is, I don't know how to swim, so I was out there with a life preserver on, but I went to Jupiter Beach, Florida, and there's this area where they have a bunch of, like, hammerheads, tiger sharks, we even saw a whale shark. This is not a cage, so you see the people that get in the cage and the sharks come around. It was a free dive, so you just go out there. What they do is they take a box of bait, they make it bleed, so they cut it up. The sharks start to smell it. They start coming and circling around you. That was an experience. I had sharks touching my leg, and they said, whatever you do, don't hold your hand out because they might try to bite you. But outside of that, they're friendly.
So you can't swim. So it's funny. You know, when you said you skydive, but you're scared of heights, I started to say, people look at me like I'm crazy because I am cruise addicted, but I didn't say it. And you just said, I know you're cruise addicted and you can't swim. That's funny. Maybe what's happening is, and I don't mean to be a dime store psychologist, but maybe you're compensating for things that something like that.
So it's for the most part, that's what it is. So it's more about the thrill. I mean, for me, because I've done so much, when I do certain experiences, if my heart rate doesn't get going, I'm bored. So if I know I can't swim and I'm around a bunch of sharks, my heart rate's going because I potentially can drown or get bit. A lot of stuff's going on. Same thing with the skydive. I'm trying to plane. I'm scared. So that's true.
All right.
So yeah,
swimming with the sharks. What else did you check out?
Another one as well. So again, I'm not really scared of heights anymore, but I was scared of heights. This is what kind of fixed it. So in Vegas, they have the Strat Jump, which is the highest structure in the United States. So I jumped off of that, and then I also rode all the attractions up there. So that's kind of a theme park.
What is that, like a bungee type?
It's basically a bungee jump? Board. So I think it was 100. Okay. And I actually have it on the wall back there. I can see. So it's 113 stories up, but yeah, we jumped from the top.
For the listeners, Justin has several certificates on his wall behind him. So that's what he was referring to when he said he has it on his wall.
Okay. So that was another one.
Now, I saw one the other day. I've been gorging on your videos. In fact, you can't see it over my shoulder, but your channel is on the television right now. But I saw one video where you were driving like a race car.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Was that F1? Was that F1? Okay.
I forgot about that. So I recently did that. It was right after I went to the Daytona 500. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Now, I'm not a NASCAR fan. I really didn't know anything about it. It was just on the bucket list to go. But I did, and I enjoyed it. So I was like, I might as well go ahead and try to drive a NASCAR. So I did.
I bet that was exhilarating.
It was. So I do have a sports car. And so I'm used to driving fast, but actually driving fast legally on the Daytona International Speedway was completely different. It was amazing.
All right. Give us a couple of more.
So just some quick ones. I went to Egypt, and I rode some camp out there in front of the Sphinx, and I went inside the pyramid. So you had to crawl down and basically crawl basically like you're on your knees, but you crawl down and get inside the pyramid. So that was one. That was actually recent. So, I mean, right around the war time. So, of course, they stopped cruises going there now. But back in the...
Yeah, you know, you would probably be interested in a podcast I did. It was about, I don't know, a couple of months ago. It's called Couples Travel. Okay. And it was on their trip to Egypt. Mm. And he was talking, it's a man and a wife, Joan and Jim Sloan, good friends of ours. Mm-hmm. And Jim was talking about to go in the pyramids. He had a scrunch down real nose. Yes. It was tight. And so I thought about that when you mentioned it.
Yeah. I think it's about 3.5 feet high as far as the distance. And yeah, it's just.
And I've seen several, photos of people that I've interviewed on camel. That's something we haven't done yet, but is riding a camel, is it anything? I mean, I know what they look like. Anything different about them? Is there some training involved? Do you have to worry about them taking off? Pretty easy to do.
So, I mean, it's similar to riding a horse if you've ever done that. Mm-hmm. As far as actual the ride itself, it's fine. It's simple. But getting on and getting off as far as them starting, so they have to, because they're so tall, they have to kind of lean. And it feels like you're going to fall off. And so literally, they have to have somebody to hold your chest to keep it from falling over. So that's mm-hmm, pretty scary, mm-hmm. But the ride is so.
Anything else before we talk about cruising?
Last one I will say is the Super Bowl. So I went to the Super Bowl here in Tampa.
Oh, man. That is definitely on our bucket list.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. I don't know when we'll ever check it off because the prices are getting crazier and crazier. but you just named one that we haven't. We don't have it in common anymore. You checked it off, but I haven't done so. But my wife and I want to do that. So chat about that. Did you have decent seats, or was it just the fact that you were there?
A mixture of both. So I had good seats. This was in 2021, so the Super Bowl that was here in Tampa, where Tom Brady, I saw on one of your posts, and I left a comment, so I'm a Tom Brady fan. It sucks that he's gone now. But it was good to see him win that Super Bowl here in Tampa. Of course, this was around the pandemic time, so it was less capacity. And so that kind of was unfortunate because it wasn't that full Super Bowl crazy experience. But it left good seats because they couldn't fill all the seats up. So,
A
really good experience. I enjoyed it. And just
sounds wonderful. Maybe I'll have you back sometime, and all we'll talk about is bucket list stuff.
Absolutely,
So let's talk about cruising.
Let's do it.
Talk about your first cruise. When and what ship?
The Norwegian Joy in 2014. So the same year I did the skydiving was the same year I took my first cruise. Not the Joy. I'm sorry. The Norwegian Sky.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't been on Norwegian a lot, but that's one I've actually been on. And it might have been that same. It wasn't a Christmas cruise, was it?
It was actually in January. So January, the first week.
Okay, because I went on the Sky. We just moved to Florida in 2012, and we were really, really homesick, especially at Christmas, because you know Christmas, my house was always kind of the hub of activity. Mm-hmm. And you know, without a lot of planning, we just took a last minute Christmas cruise on Sky. Mm. So that's one of the few Norwegian ships that I can say we've also been on. In fact, our last ship was Norwegian, the Norwegian Pearl. Oh,
okay.
But let's go back to were you hooked immediately, or did it have to grow on you?
I'll tell you right now, I hated it. It was the worst cruise I've ever been on.
Was it the cruise that you hated, or was it the experience of cruise?
Everything. So unfortunately, just to be real with you, after it took me 5 years to go on my next cruise, that's how much I couldn't stand.
Wow.
It. Yeah, and so it's kind of ironic now that I saw that two cruise, but it was that bad. So just to give you kind of a quick overview, one, it was during a polar vortex, and so that causes the waves to be rough and crazy. We got to the Bahamas, and the high was like 59 degrees, so it was cold in the Bahamas. It was a nightmare. And then I went with one of my friends, who was my best friend during college, and that's another reason why I solo cruise, so we'll kind of probably get into that later on. But it was just everything.
So going with the friend kind of set in motion this notion of being a solo cruiser.
Yes, absolutely.
So you said it was 5 years to you. Now, what year was this? You said 14?
2014. Mm-hmm.
So you did cruise before the pandemic again. What was your second cruise?
So my second cruise was on NCL. So ironically, I wanted to see if it was just me that had a bad experience or what. So I took the same itinerary, the same cruise line. The only difference was, instead of doing this, the Sky, I did the NCL Epic. It was the same 4-night little cruise. And that one, it was actually my first solo cruise. And the Epic actually has the most solo cabins on a cruise ship. So I had no idea it was a big deal. And that completely changed. After that, I fell in love with cruising. So it was really good. My first cruise, I found it on my second cruise.
When did the light go on, if you will, on that second cruise that, hey, this is all right?
It was just, we were at dinner and it was just like, it was a couple of us. So ironically and unfortunately, on that solo cruise, they had one of those corporate people buy out like cabins and stuff like that.
Sure.
Uh-huh. So they all knew each other. So it wasn't really a solo program because they all worked with each other. But it was like maybe like 4 or 5 of us that were actual solos. So we just started hanging out and just, we really got to become good friends on that cruise. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, this is nice. And so it's ironic because I was dating someone right before that cruise and we broke up and we had planned to go on a cruise together. And she told me, she was like, well, I heard about this solo program. If we break up, I'm going to go on it without you. And I was like, there's no such thing. And I looked it up. I was like, mm-hmm. This is real. And so when we broke up, I said, you know what? I'm going to take her advice. And I literally, between my friend and my ex-girlfriend, that's what got me on the solo path.
Now, would you say on that second cruise, I know you said it was much, much better. What, were you hooked yet, or?
I was. Again, the only thing that kind of, that corporate thing, I was like, it's got to be better than this if it wasn't all these people that were working together. Because it almost felt like you're at work in a way. It was like people talking about work and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. You shouldn't be talking about on a vacation. And so I did another cruise. I'll probably talk about it, but I did another cruise a year later, and it was perfect. That was literally one of my best cruises.
What was that one on?
So that was on Norwegian Breakaway.
So your first three cruises, you seem to be a Norwegian guy. Was there any particular reason, or that's just, it just happened that way?
All because of the solo program.
Norwegian
was the best when it comes to it. And so I didn't have enough courage at the time to try another cruise line that didn't have that solo program.
And then came the pandemic. How'd you, mm-hmm. we don't want to talk too much about it, but I'm always curious how people spend their time, because I have heard of discovered something new, or they ran a marathon or whatever. But how'd you spend your the shutdown?
So that's when I officially became Mr. Bucket List. So because the pandemic, the main thing about the pandemic was, of course, was social distancing and stuff like that. And so as a solo traveler, it's pretty easy to do because you're by yourself. And so I went to so many theme parks. I mean, I think during 2021, and some a little bit of 2020, I probably went to about 25 theme parks. And of course, back then, they were all pretty much empty. So, I mean, I got incredible footage. I did a lot of cruises. I mean, I did 4 cruises in 2021 after the cruising resumed. I really was able to kind of explore the world in a way that people won't see anymore. It just doesn't exist.
So you started your channel and you started blogging during the shutdown?
So I took it seriously during the shutdown. I had it before the shutdown, but once I had the time, because everyone had a lot of time during that period, I was like, let me go ahead and really focus on my adventures and my travel. And that's when it really started. A lot of people were watching YouTube, for example, because they were stuck at home. And so they were kind of watching my adventures when I was solo traveling. So, I mean, I'll give you an example. I went to Philadelphia to go to Hershey Park up there, and I was the only one on the plane. So that's how empty it was. It was just, I mean, I was on a plane that probably holds 150 people. And it was just me and the flight attendants and the flight crews.
You know, I have interviewed dozens of bloggers and vloggers, and you'd be surprised. Well, maybe you wouldn't be, but a lot of them during the shutdown.
I believe it.
Yep. But on the other hand, there were a lot of experienced existing bloggers and vloggers who they lost so much traffic during the shutdown that, I mean, pretty big name. She got disenchanted and she just stopped altogether. Oh. Now she's back and very popular, but yeah, she just stopped. And others stayed with it, but you know, lamented the fact that they lost sometimes like 95% of their audience.
Yeah, I believe it.
So yeah, it's almost like one or the other. You either, you know, you got energized by the shutdown, or you just got so frustrated you threw your hands up. So when cruising started up, what was your first cruise back?
It was actually on the MSC Marivella. It was in August of 2021, and that was my first time on MSC, and it was phenomenal. I mean, that cruise ship, I think, holds maybe 6,000. It holds a lot of people. It's a mega ship.
Yeah.
And it was 600 of us on board. And so the staff to
crew. Wow, that's nice.
The staff to crew ratio was 4-1. So four staff.
That's nice. I'm sure I would have loved that. We just did Merivale for Christmas. That was our Christmas. I took, you know, my extended family. And, you know, there were parts of it we loved. As I'm sure you're well aware, MSC gets some mixed reviews. So I did a podcast, and I gave them credit where it was due. You know, for the most part, I found MSC to be on par with their competition, but you know, they lack in a big way in the area of complimentary food. You know, just having That's the true. Buffet and the main dining rooms. How was your trip? Well, the difference, of course, I went at the busiest time of the year, which is Christmas. Although they seemed to handle, you know, they didn't seem to be overly crowded. People had complained about embarkation. My embarkation was very smooth. People complained about the depart. So I was surprised that you know, again, mine was very smooth. As decent as they were, when you were there with 600 folks, man, that must have been really nice.
It was. It's just, and like you said, a lot of people are just curious about MSC because you said, like, it's mixed reviews. And so I've been defending them ever since that cruise, even though it's not really fair because it was an empty cruise, but it was phenomenal. I mean, MSC, as you, I'm sure you know, their ships and stuff are beautiful. I mean, they have that luxury, that lavish look to them. And so between being able to see that with not a lot of people on the actual deck and all that, it was just, it was a good cruise. I really enjoyed it, and it was cheap. I mean, I barely paid $200 for it.
Now, did you, after the shutdown, so many people I speak to, after the shutdown, to use a phrase, they hit the ground running, cruise after cruise after cruise. Were you like that, or did you go at an even pace?
So yes and no. My main thing was I wanted to try to finally do a variety. Like you were saying, I previously did just NCL, just strictly NCL. But after the shutdown ended, a lot of cruise lines were cheaper because it was limited capacity and stuff like that. So I was like, well, let me use this to my advantage and try different cruise lines. And so that's honestly how I got onto Royal Caribbean. Royal Caribbean now is like my go-to cruise line. But right after MSC, I had did a cruise on Mariner of the Seas on Royal Caribbean that next month, September of 2021. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I mean, it was such a good time. And then I did another one on Sent in the Seas, ironically, over Halloween. So I just booked it. I didn't look at the date, nothing like that. And then I was like, oh, this is a Halloween cruise. And so that was one of my favorite cruises ever. It was just so much fun.
That was Symphony of the Seas?
Sent in the Seas.
Yeah, that was my first cruise back after the pandemic. Significant or special to mark my return to cruising. Mm-hmm. So at the time that I booked it, it was the largest ship in the world. Mm. And so, you know, I said, well, let's go on a larger to kind of celebrate the return of cruising. But by the time my cruise came around, it had been surpassed by Wonder.
Wonder, yep.
So have you been on Wonder?
I did. So I actually did Wonder after I did Symphony. When I booked Symphony, the same thing, it was the largest, and then Wonder came out. I was like, well, I got to do the next largest. And that was good as well. It was, unfortunately, it was very similar to Symphony. Of course, the sister ships and stuff like that. So it wasn't as wowing. It wasn't like a wow factor like it was for Symphony.
And then you went on the next iteration of the largest ship in the world, and that is Icon.
That's correct.
And I've seen some great photos of your cruise on Icon, and I've been watching some great videos. So tell us all the good stuff.
So Icon is, in my opinion, it's the best cruise ship ever created. I mean, it's not necessarily about because it's the biggest ship. It caters to every single audience on board. Again, I'm a solo cruiser, so I don't have any children or anything like that. And the way they made that little area, Surfside area, just I was on the inaugural sailing, but I can tell you right now, I rarely saw kids running past the pool deck or running past us because they were too busy in that area. Not to mention they also have the adults only area in the back of the ship, so it's like you wouldn't see kids back there anyway. Between that, the food options, I mean, it's just so much you can say. Even the check-in, I mean, the check-in, it took me I think 10 minutes from my car in the parking lot to get on the ship. It just you kept walking the whole time.
Get out.
They really royal. I understand. At first, I was upset with all those test cruises because I'm like, I mean, I'm sure you know we paid a lot of money for that inaugural sailing, but it made sense after the cruise. I'm like, I didn't have any issues. I mean, I was expecting to have issues like I had on Wonder and Symphony. I didn't have any issues whatsoever. They really did a good job.
Give us a couple of highlights of your time on Icon.
So the Empire Supper Club. I'm happy I was able to try it out. That was the best dining experience I've ever had. Land and sea, it doesn't matter.
I've seen your video on that. Now we'll talk about that, but before we talk about that, are you a restaurant person in general?
Not really. So I mean, thankfully, Royal, as far as their quality of the main dining room food, it's pretty top notch. And so I really don't. I'll just do specialty reviews just to make a video on YouTube, but it's not something I need to do on a cruise
So
ship.
yeah, tell us about Empire. Now for the listeners, it's called Empire Supper Club, right? So it's a very upscale specialty dining restaurant. I believe it's what, $200 a person?
$200 a person. Yep, before tip.
Okay. So walk us through it.
Sure. So first of all, it's very exclusive. I mean, I think it sold out in our cruise the day it was released. They limited it to, I think it's probably maybe 30 or 40 people inside there, but it's a very nice, it's basically, it's a 3-hour event. They have live music. They actually have a song for each meal. They have a different song. They have surprise meals that come out. It's almost like a chef's table, but just on steroids. I mean, everything about it is just top quality. I mean, for example, they start you off with unlimited Moët for champagne. So you have that, then they come out with about 10 different drinks, different meals. It's so much I can say about it, but it's an experience where whether you're solo or which I went by myself, or you're with your family or a couple, I recommend to anybody at least one time. It's definitely a must-do experience on a cruise ship.
Now you're a thrill seeker. Did you order the rack? Tell the listeners what the choices were so they don't think I just pulled that out of
So
the
yeah,
air.
they had, it was the rabbit, the Wagyu steak, and what was the other one? It was three different meats. It was salmon or something like that, some type of fish. No, so I thought about getting the rabbit, but I was like, you know what, like I was like, if I get the rabbit and I put this in my video, what are my viewers going to say? So I was like, let me just stick with the steak, which, and I'll be honest, the steak wasn't the best. That was the worst part of my meal. Just something about it was just really chewy.
Really?
But as far as like say, everything else, the food was phenomenal. Not only that, and this is something kind of behind the scenes I'll tell you all. So Royal Caribbean, after we had that meal, they gave certain people a little flyer on their door, and the flyer was about feedback for the experience. So they actually pulled us into a room a day later, and they asked us what we thought about the experience, what we recommended to people, should we change stuff. They wanted all our feedback to keep the experience the best way it could be, the best, just the best experience possible. So Royal really does, as far as they're listening to viewers, as far as like feedback, they are really honing in on it. So I really appreciate it.
If I may ask, what was the thread of your feedback?
So honestly, I told them don't change anything. And a lot of people said it's going to sound crazy, but a lot of people are like, if you have to increase the price to keep the experience the same, do it. Everyone, I think it was maybe 15 of us in that
Wow.
room, everyone said that. So
Go on the it sounds like there's a I don't know what it's called. You a ropes course where you kind of extend out over the ocean. Did you do that?
I did. So Crown's Edge, yep.
Crown's Edge. Okay, tell us.
So of course with me, I'm a thrill seeker. I jump off a plane
Yeah,
and stuff.
I
So
mean, why did I even ask you? Did you do that? Of course you would do that.
in my opinion, it was tame. And it was very short.
Tame for a thrill seeker. I
Yeah,
don't
for a
think it would
thrill
have been
seeker.
tame for me.
Now
But
when it
when I was on Symphony, I did the what do you call it, the zip line, you know,
Okay.
across
Yeah.
that's about as adventurous as I get. What I have.
I mean, I'll say this. So when you see the people that's going, because I mean, it was all type of ages and genders, everyone loved it. So I mean, when you see other people doing it, you would do it. And
Okay, that.
it's not that bad. Little kids were on there and having a screen, just having a good time. It literally felt it felt like
That was fun, huh?
It was. Now, the only thing I will say was it was kind of short. So the cool thing is, I don't know if they're still doing this, but at least in our cruise, they were letting people go twice. Because, I mean, initially that thing was $100. And it's like $100 for like 45 seconds. And so they dropped it down to $49 on port days and $39 on sea days. And they let you go around twice. So they're trying to. They're
so really, it's really that short. I didn't realize it was that short.
Yeah, it's very short.
So what else? Anything else that stood out on Icon?
Oh, yeah. So the shows. Oh, my God. I don't know if I forgot that. So the shows were just fantastic. The best shows I've seen on any cruise ship. So I actually have a friend who was in one of the ice skating shows. She had reached out to me, like, oh, you want to come see me and stuff. And so for me, I mean, the ice skating shows, I like them, but my highlights are usually the Aqua Theater shows, mm-hmm. or the Aqua Dome and Icon. But the work that they put in the ice skating show, between that and the Aqua Dome mm-hmm. show, they were phenomenal. I mean, it's amazing what they can do on a cruise.
Now, I know that you, I know from your channel that you went to see Wizard of Oz. I had I had another creator on, and they said that was the best show they've seen at sea. You liked it?
I agree. Same thing. It's just, you would think an hour and a half long show would be boring. It really felt like we were watching a 3D movie. I mean, it was great.
Let me guess. You booked again on Icon? Not yet.
I'll give a little secret. I do not repeat cruise ships. It's my bucket list to try as many, not the same ones. So I don't repeat cruise ships.
Okay.
So
you know, I don't cruise. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't cruise as much as you. I doubt I cruise as much as you, but I won't repeat a cruise ship.
Okay.
And I've turned down, I shouldn't say turned down, but I've seen some great opportunities to go on a ship that I've been on. Maybe the itinerary, or maybe it was the holidays and I was taking my grandkids or whatever. But I only have limited time on this earth. And so I want to do it all. So when is, so you said you're going to do Star. That's the next one in the Icons class. When is that?
So the earliest booking that they had available, which I did.
So you're already booked on it.
Yeah, I'm already booked.
And it's probably just a skeletal version. So talk about, give us some highlights of other cruises that you've done. I know Icon is your latest, and we'll talk in a minute about the future. But what have I missed any that's really stand out?
So I did see a post of yours about how you did a few bucket list cruises. So I think you said Hawaii, Alaska. Same here. So Alaska was a really big deal for me. That was my, as usual, I mean, I'm usually leaving out of Florida, but flying over to Seattle and doing that cruise. And then the excursions I did while over there, Alaska was a really
big deal. What cruise ship did you go on?
I did the Quantum.
Oh, that would have been nice to go to go to Alaska. Now, I've been on that class. I went on the Anthem of the Seas. So I've done the skywriting or skydiving or whatever they call it, the skyfly, I fly, I guess. And the, what do you call the capsule that raises up high in the air?
North Star.
So I can relate to Quantum.
Yeah, it's a really good. So I've done Quantum and I've done Odyssey, and I may be doing Anthem in Asia next year.
Talk about your Alaska trip. What are your what excursions set out?
So the main excursion I did was the helicopter flight where you land on the glacier and get to do a hike. It was just, of course, it was on my bucket list to see a glacier before they potentially melt away. And so I did that in Juneau. And that was just, I mean, being up there, we actually flew up during a snowstorm. But then when we got to the glacier, it stopped. And so we flew through snow. We got to the glacier, it stopped. I mean, just the views. I mean, you've seen the glaciers and stuff from the ship, how nice it is. So seeing it from the air and then landing on top of it, it was amazing. So, I mean, that was...
Was that your first time on a helicopter?
It was.
I mentioned on on another podcast, in fact, I had one, Steph from Sean and Steph, because she was actually on the Alaska cruise that I was on. I didn't interact when we were on it, but, she was on the podcast and telling me about her helicopter, and I mentioned, and I'll mention again, on our way back from Alaska, my wife mentioned how she wouldn't mind taking a helicopter excursion, because we heard so many people raving about their excursion, either in Hawaii or Alaska, and so that was I was pleasantly surprised, because I just never imagined that she'd be into that. So that's sort of an excuse to get back to Alaska. So what else? What other excursions did you do?
See, so unfortunately, a lot of my excursions kept getting canceled. And so, for example, a lot of people do the snow sledding where they ride with dogs and they walk across the snow. I've already done that. I've done that in New Hampshire. So, I mean, that was part of my other bucket list. And so I didn't do that. I did this one tour in this area, this place called Sitka, City of Sitka. And it was so nice. So we went to that bear sanctuary they have out there. It's like bears and eagles and stuff like that. And it was so much packed in that day in such a short amount of time, but it was like a really good excursion. So I mean, just Alaska in general. I mean, just being there, just seeing the views and the culture, the food, it was amazing.
What other cruises stand out?
So we'll probably talk about this later on, but I just want to mention the one I did in November. It was a 3-continent cruise. Very good itinerary. This was the one where I went to Egypt and I did the whole camels. But it went to Europe, Asia, and Africa, and then I left from North America. So technically, I was in 4 different continents in one
What
week.
ship was that?
This is with a cruise line called Celestial Cruises.
Oh, yes, I've heard of Celeste. Okay.
Yeah, they invited me out there to check them out, and they were actually a really good cruise.
Now, you've done a couple of, I think it was three, group cruises. Talk about that. I guess I would suspect it's a lot of work.
So that's the thing about me. I mean, for me, like, I'm just living my life. I just like to record it and show it. So I never want to put myself in a position where I'm working on vacation. I still consider them vacations. So it can be, but I wouldn't know about it because I don't necessarily do the work. Basically, I just invite people and just let whoever do the work. But I will say this.
Okay, like a travel
Yeah, a
partner.
travel agent, something like that.
Okay,
I will say this though. Unfortunately, my last group cruise I had in December, I actually had a co-host and he was also our travel agent. He completely dropped out of everything. So unfortunately, I had to step up and actually do that type of stuff that I try not to do. The great thing was my group was right there, my actual friends. So they know me from YouTube. They were so supportive. It was amazing. It felt like family, and I still talk to them to this day. They definitely want to see the podcast when it comes out. But now I understand how that feels. I don't want to be in that position again. But for the most part, outside of that issue I had that one time, group cruises are amazing. What I generally do is do host group cruises for solo travelers. So my first one was actually on my birthday last May. It was an 11-night cruise. We went to six different ports. It was phenomenal. I think we had about 40 people all together on NCL Joy. It was a really good time. I got to work with the solo cruise director for NCL Joy.
You mentioned earlier how NCL has the best or one of the best solo programs. Have your group solo cruises all been on NCL?
So no, so that one, the first one was on NCL, and then after that, my second one was on the Celestial Cruise I was just mentioning,
Oh,
which,
that was a group cruise.
yeah, and then that was just, I mean, they were all from Europe, from the UK. I was the only American on that group cruise, and there was a lot of us. And so again, it was just all these have been new experiences, but they all been really good experiences.
So you reach your the folks who went on that cruise with what you reached through your channel.
That's correct.
Okay. How many did you have for that group?
Oh, that one was loaded. So man, I think all together, I think we had maybe 60
Okay.
people. And they were all solos. And so yeah, it was a really good time. I flew into Athens and stayed there for a little while. Then we left from Athens. We came back. It was a good time. Really good time.
And then your most recent solo was when? I'm not a solo. Your most recent group cruise was.
Yeah, that was in December. Now this one was more like I said, it was more of a smaller type of thing. It was more like almost a Friends of Mr. Bucket List from YouTube. But that was on Oasis of the Seas in December, and we just went to Jamaica and Haiti. My main thing was, well, in the past, I wanted to do all the different Oasis class ships until Icon came and blew me away. But Oasis was actually a bucket list ship for me because my first royal ship was supposed to be Oasis of the Seas, but it was booked in December of 2020. So I'm sure you know it got canceled. We just never got replaced.
Let's shift a little bit and talk about the future. What do you have booked besides the Star when it's not even built yet?
Sure. So I had to actually make a list because I kind of forget these things until I get reminders on Google. But as of right now, so I currently have seven. And this is not including Star. But actually, like you were talking about, so I do have a cruise to Hawaii coming up. It's going to be at the end of April. In April, it's on over my birthday. So a 6-night cruise from Hawaii on Pride of America NCL.
Oh, so that's the one that's going to give you. You're gonna get all 50 states.
50.
That's your last state. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And then I actually am booked on Utopia of the Seas, and I won't be inaugural sailing, but I'll be on Utopia of the Seas in November.
Now, correct me. Utopia is the same is the Oasis class, right? That's not the same. That's not the Icon. What's Icon's class called? Icon class. Okay,
yeah.
So but Utopia, so they're going to do another one that is of the Oasis series.
It is, mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, I got that coming up, and then a lot of people want me to start exploring Carnival more. I've only been on Carnival one time. I did a little weekend cruise on Carnival Conquest. So this year, I'll be doing something similar. I'll be doing a weekend cruise on Carnival Glory, and then I'll be doing Carnival Mardi Gras in December. So I got that coming
The Carnival Mardi Gras. I've been on Mardi Gras.
How is it?
Oh, it's very nice. Now, it's going to be very, very different from mm-hmm. Conquest and Glory, you know, because those are small.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I've heard so many good things about it. So, yeah, that's going to be my big Carnival one. And then I got Celebrity Silhouette, another little weekend cruise.
Oh, I just thought of something. That class of Carnival has roller coasters.
It does, the bolt.
Yeah, yep. So I mean it's gonna be a little thing to you, but still you'll enjoy it. I mean, you've been on roller coasters, you know, 20 times as 20 times larger, but it's still I just found it something fun to do. We took out my granddaughter. You know, you can actually the roller coasters, the driver controls the speed, and she was a bit of a speed demon. So you'll still have fun, even though it'll be light stuff for an experience thrill.
Yeah, that's on the bucket list. To do a roller coaster on a cruise ship, absolutely.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. So what else? What else? Did I miss any?
So I'll say I do have a big deal. So I am doing another inaugural sailing, but this time it's going to be on the Margaritaville Islander.
Oh,
so,
okay.
My first cruise out of Tampa. I live in Tampa, and it's like I've never cruised out of Tampa, so I'm pretty excited for a new ship and my first time out of Tampa.
Uh-huh.
That is June, the middle of June.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. I've heard about it, but I didn't realize it was so. So you didn't mention. Do you have another group cruise in you?
So I do, and that's the thing. So for me, it's like I'm getting to the point now where I'm working on bucket list cruises, and so it's like. Those are pretty expensive, the ones I'm trying to look at. So it's like it's hard to form a group with it. But I am. So most likely what I am going to do, and I actually talked about this on Instagram today. So I'm doing the Carnival Glory over Labor Day weekend. And I pretty much say, hey, if you all want to join me, come and join me. It's a cheap cruise. Most people have the day off. So that may be like a kind of impromptu group cruise. But after that, I do actually have a group cruise.
Very nice, very nice. Ooh. Yeah, Transatlantic is on my bucket list. My next cruise checks that off. Speaking of cruise bucket lists, mm-hmm. What is on your bucket list?
So, cruise-wise or just in general?
No, cruise-wise. And I want to know your other bucket list as well.
Okay.
But first, your cruise bucket list.
So, my cruise bucket list, a cruise to Antarctica. My main goal is, of course, after I get all 50 states done, it's going to be all continents. So, cruise to Antarctica, a cruise to Asia, through Asia. So, that's actually going to happen April of next year, around my birthday. I'm going to do probably, it's either going to be a 12 or 15-night Asia cruise. So, Japan, Taiwan, stuff like that. Just a lot of different places. I'm trying to think what else. And then
I don't think I've heard you mention Celebrity. Never. Have you ever done Celebrity?
I did. So I did the Ascent, the second cruise after its inaugural sailing.
Oh, you did the Ascent. That's one of the nicest ships in the world. See, you cruise so much, you just leave out stuff.
I do honestly forget about cruises, and I feel kind of bad. Like, I just had a cruise in January on the seashore in a yacht club, which is like a big deal for people from MSC, and I just completely forgot about it. But yeah, I did. That was my first Celebrity cruise, the Ascent, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite cruises.
My favorite ship. As we speak, is that same class as Ascent, mm-hmm. It's Celebrity Beyond. And so we're booked on later this year. And so I'm waiting to see if that will supplant Celebrity Beyond as my new favorite ship. So what else is on your cruise bucket list?
Actually, it's the last big one, and it's like I'm trying to figure out exactly when I want to do it. I put a deposit down on it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to go through with it. It's a world cruise. I'm going to do a world. I put a deposit down on the world cruise with MSC. So I think it was 130 or something days. I want to do that.
Now, what about your other bucket list items? What adventures would you like to check off?
Oh, man.
What haven't you done?
So one of my main ones, so I'm a huge mountain person. I love mountains, just seeing mountains in general. It's something I just always love to do. So Mount Everest. I don't want to climb to the top and die. I know how dangerous it is, but I do want to do a Everest base camp trek. So basically, you trek from the city to the camp or whatever. It's something I've been really interested in doing. So I'm going to do that probably after I get done seeing all the continents. That would be my next bucket list thing. So Everest. Then seeing the Great Wall of China, I'm probably going to do that on an excursion during my Asia cruise. And then a real African safari. So I've done a lot of little safaris.
Just about everything you said. Well, no, not climbing Mount Everest. But safari is way up there on my bucket list. And, you know, as I said, I know when we have you back, I don't know, maybe we'll have you back in 24 probably, but when we have you back maybe around 26, 27, I expect you to say, well, I want to go to space.
That, literally, I've been saying that for years, and when they said the whole commercial, if I have to sell everything to do it, I'll do it. Like
Justin, before we let you go, a few light questions, maybe even fun questions. And one question is kind of an oddball question because it doesn't necessarily have to do with cruising. So the first one's kind of an easy one, just so I can get some ideas. A lot of times when I see on ships, you know, you have a nice looking, refreshing looking, fancy looking drink in your hand. So what's your favorite cruise drink and cruise food?
So I will say I am a poser. I'm a fraud when it comes to drinks because I don't really drink much. I usually just hold it and take the pitcher and toss it. I'll be honest. My first five cruises, all I asked for was cranberry and vodka because that's all I do to drink. I didn't know much about drinks. But to answer your question now, I have gotten a little bit more knowledgeable as far as drinks goes. I love to get a drink called a lava flow.
So tell us what's in it, you know?
Just know what it looks like. It looks like it's called a lava flow because it looks like lava basically. It looks like it's flowing into your drink. It's a mixture of something. I don't know. It's like I said, I don't really drink it.
Sounds good. What do you like to eat?
For the food. So I would choose the easy answer and just say lobster. But when it comes to food, there is this cake. It's on Royal Caribbean. It's called a molten lava cake. And it's just.
Oh, yeah.
I wish they would serve it every night. But every time I get it, I get like three or four of them. They're so good.
Next question, what's your most memorable or funniest or even most embarrassing cruise or port experience?
Oh, man. Okay. So a lot of people are familiar with this because this is kind of how I got known on YouTube. So long story short, I was on my second solo cruise on NCL Breakaway, and I was in the spa. The spa is like one of my favorite places to go during sea days because it's a limited amount of people. It's usually a really good environment. It's got a pool, stuff like that. But I was in that spa, and I was just talking to people. I was feeling myself. I had lost all this weight during the pandemic. Before the pandemic. And so I was, like, just in a really good mood. And I was just talking to a bunch of just women and things like that. And so we were in the hot tub, and I was just talking to this one random lady. Long story short, we were talking, and eventually she asked me for a massage. I'm like, oh. Okay, cool. I was just really feeling myself. And so I was massaging her. We were just talking and stuff. And then I just feel like it felt like claws. I'm like, what's this grown man hands just grabbed my shoulder? He's like, can I go next? I'm like, what is going on here? Long story short, she was a swinger. I guess that was her swinger husband or whatever, but they were looking for someone that was interested. And I'm assuming they thought I was.
A guy started massaging your shit. Oh, wow.
So that was my first time dealing with swingers, and oh, God. Obviously, I declined. I ran out of there, but yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
And I mean, he was I mean, the guy, I mean, had tattoos. He looked like he rode a Harley. I was legit scared. I'm like, am I talking to this man's wife? What's going on? But
I think I call it first birthday of the podcast. Congrats. To celebrate it, what I did a couple of weeks ago was I did a show, and it had clips of all from the podcast I had done in the first year. Because, yeah, I always ask people their funniest, okay, most saddest, most poignant, most memorable, you know, recollections. And so I took, you know, mm-hmm, I took some of the funniest ones. I did have a couple that were sort of the most poignant, the most moving, you know. And if I had talked to you before I did that show, that one would have been on the show. So that'll be on my second birthday issue. Well, second birthday episode next February. That's funny. So I know some of your followers and friends are listening. So welcome to the Mr. Bucket List followers and friends listening. We certainly hope you have enjoyed listening to the Joy of Cruising podcast and will come back to listen to some additional episodes. Please feel free to join the Joy of Cruising podcast Facebook group. So Justin, let's have some fun. Share one that my listeners, okay, and your followers and friends don't know about Justin.
Oh, my God. Shoot. I wasn't ready for this one.
You know, it doesn't have to be funny. It could be, I don't know. You know, I've asked people this who are world travelers, and they talked about the fact that they were afraid of getting on a plane. And it was very valuable to my listeners to hear that from a world. So it could be anything. Doesn't have to be funny.
And that's what I was going to say. So honestly, a lot of people don't know it. So kind of going back to the whole fear of heights thing, there was honestly, as far as this Mr. Bucket List thing, it could have gotten started a lot sooner if I wasn't scared to fly. But I literally was driving everywhere. So again, in my way to see all 50 states, a good portion of that I drove to it because I was just so scared to fly. And so I finally got tired of it. It was so expensive renting a car and wear and tear on my own vehicles. It was a lot. So, yeah, that fear of heights.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming on the Joy of Cruising podcast, and all the best to you. Always doing interesting things and given you vacation every couple of weeks. So right away, that made you one of my travel role models. So given that you vacation at least monthly, you'll do so many interesting things in a relatively short period of time. So I suspect we're going to have you back. You're kind of unique. I'm sure that they exist, but there's not a lot of confirmed solo cruisers who are males. You know, I've had a couple of solo cruisers to talk about solo cruising come on the show. I've never encountered someone who is male and that's their thing is solo cruising. Well, you have actually a couple of brands. You know, you have the Thrill Seeker brand, the Bucket List brand, but also you have the Solo Traveler. As they say, I'll see you on the ocean.
You will. Thank you for having me.
The Joy of Cruising and Cruising Interrupted, each $16.99 plus shipping, and new release, The Joy of Cruising Again, for $18.99, can be ordered at the link on the joyofcruisingpodcast.com. For each of the three books, use the discount code Joy of Cruising Podcast and get $4 off. The Joy of Cruising books are also available at Amazon. Order the ebook at Amazon or your favorite online retailer. Stay in touch by joining the Joy of Cruising Podcast Facebook group or following the Joy of Cruising Podcast on Instagram. We're constantly adding new shows. Please leave a review and tell a friend about us. We hope you enjoy this brief escape to the ocean. See you next week.